It was a shocking attack at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. The former US President Donald Trump was addressing his supporters when shots rang out, sparking panic in the crowd. Secret Service agents told Mr. Trump to get down. They dived on top of him as he did so. The former president emerged with a bloodied face, pumping his fist in the air. He later said he was shot in the ear, with a bullet ripping through his skin. One spectator was killed. Two others were critically injured. The gunman, a 20-year-old named Thomas Matthew Crooks, was shot and killed by the Secret Service. The dramatic events on stage were all captured live on television, including this moment when the shooting started.
If you want to really see something that's said, take a look at what happened.
Afterwards, a number of eyewitnesses spoke about what they saw, including this man who told CBS News that he believes he saw the gunman prior to the shooting.
I was just hanging, standing there like everybody else, waiting for Trump. And as Trump started, I noticed two officers that were looking for something or somebody. I was looking around myself and seeing a guy on top of one of the buildings go in between one building to the next, and went and told the officer that he was up there. And when I went back to my spot, I heard that people could still see the person from where they were standing. So I checked that out, and I went and went back to tell the officer that if he came over there, he could see them. And when I turned my back is when the shots started, and then it took me a second or two to figure out exactly what it was, and then it was just getting out of there and helping some other person out with her child, and we got out, and that was the end of that, and I went and left, and that was all.
An emergency room doctor who was at the rally tried to help one of the injured spectators. He's been speaking about what happened, and a word of warning that some of what he says is graphic.
I heard the shots. I thought it was firecrackers to begin with. Somebody over there was screaming, he's been shot. So I made my way over. I said, I'm an emergency department physician. Let me help you. The guy had spun around, was jammed between the benches. He had a headshot here. There's lots of blood, and he had brain matter there. Oh, and no. So I got him. There's a helicopter coming in to get him. I got people there really helpful. I got
was
him
there only
up
one
on
person shot that you saw?
Then I did CPR, did chest compressions as well as I breathed for him.
An investigation is now underway into what happened. The home of the gunman has been sealed off and searched. Pennsylvania State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens gave a timeline of the events surrounding the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump.
So let me describe for you a little bit about the scene that we have over there. As you know, there was a grandstand, a very large area, a lot of people there when this all unfolded. The former president had come out and begun to speak shortly after 6 o'clock this evening. And within about 10 to 15 minutes, a number of sounds were heard, and it became apparent that shots were being fired in that direction. It was a chaotic scene. Law enforcement, I believe, acted heroically, quickly identifying and neutralizing the threat, as well as responding to assist the various victims. PSP had a significant presence on the scene along with all of our federal partners at the time of the shooting. We have since enhanced that presence significantly, bringing in resources from all over the Commonwealth to ensure that we have a speedy, thorough investigation.
There's been widespread international condemnation of the attack on Donald Trump and domestic condemnation too, including from President Joe Biden, who gave a short address to reporters in the aftermath of the attack last night.
There's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons why we have to unite this country. We cannot allow for this to be happening. We cannot be like this. We cannot condone this. And I want to thank the Secret Service and all the agencies, including the state agencies, that have been engaged in making sure that the people who, and we have more detail to come relative to other people maybe injured in the audience. I don't have all that detail. We'll make that available to you. I may be able to come back a little later tonight, but we'll put out a statement if it's not convenient for you all. But the bottom line is that the Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And everybody must condemn it. Everybody.
Let's go to the United States now and speak with our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan. Sean, let's start with the gunman. He was named by the FBI as Thomas Matthew Crooks. What is known about him?
What's known is he's 20 years old. He lives in a place called Bethel Park, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh. According to his high school records, he won a $500 maths prize the year he graduated. He then went out and registered to vote in the general election of that year, the midterm election, and registered as a Republican. So he was a young man, white male. Photographs of him published on social media or attributed to him. Seems to be a young man with long hair. Doesn't look the military type, but apparently had an interest in guns. Watched a lot of gun channel stuff on his computer. And that is the type of thing that the FBI are going to be digging into. Computers, phones, any kind of records. Doesn't appear to be that much stuff about him on social media, which is kind of unusual for somebody of that age. But again, anything that is out there, they will track it down. They probably have it already. And they're also looking for any kind of witnesses, associates, people who would have known the guy, and also looking for video from the scene, because there has been various bits floating around on social media and on mainstream media as well of the actual scene.
Yes.
Outside the buildings where he was stationed with what appears to be an AR-15 type of weapon. You could hear the audio of the shots and people shouting and saying he's got a gun even before the shooting had started.
And there will be serious questions now being asked about security surrounding former President Trump, given that that this man, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was able to get so close to him on the roof of a building which had line of sight of the president.
Indeed, about 124 metres away, according to people who've measured things on satellite images. It was the only really high building around, and we're still talking about one storey, slightly over one storey high, but that's high enough to get a line of sight into the area. And yes, you're right, everybody has said there should have been somebody up there. Now, people have said he's a former president and a candidate in the race. He doesn't get the full presidential protection package that the actual sitting serving president of the United States gets, which is all enveloping. And in that, you know, if it was Joe Biden that was there, absolutely those rooftops would have been covered. But a lot of former law enforcement, former Secret Service people have been out on television over here saying that is a real vulnerability. That was the one high point that was not covered off. And that was the one high point that this apparently random 20-year-old just happened to pick to be the place that he climbed up and started shooting at Donald Trump from.
We heard Joe Biden condemn the attack. Others, including former President Barack Obama, have condemned it too, saying there's absolutely no place for political violence, suggesting we should all be relieved that former President Trump wasn't seriously hurt. What other political reaction has there been to the events of last night, Sean?
Well, it didn't really take long. You might have thought it would be a unifying moment. Indeed, President Biden called for unity, as has President Trump and one or two others. But within a very short space of time, little over an hour, the unity was over and it was back to the trench warfare between political parties and Republicans, notably Senator J.D. Vance, who's one of the people trying to become Trump's vice president, have been pointing the fingers at President Biden and the Democrat Party in general, saying it's your rhetoric that has set this sort of thing up. The rhetoric led directly to President Trump's attempted assassination, said Vance. Another congressman, Chip Roy, pointing the finger at the media and republishing an image of a magazine, The New Republic, with Trump mocked up as Adolf Hitler, again saying, you've been at Trump for so long, no wonder people have turned, the crazies were out there with guns and had a go at him. Other people saying that Biden should be prosecuted for inciting an attempted assassination, according to one Republican congressman called Mike Collins. Somebody else retweeted back at him, Congressman, he's immune, haven't you heard? So the trench warfare is on. Once again, the culture wars and the deep, deep political wars and the hatred, really, that's been expressed in so much of the politics of America for the past 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, and that has led to this atmosphere in which these sort of things are shocking but not unexpected.
And President Trump himself, Sean, he wasn't seriously hurt. In the immediate aftermath of the shooting, as blood was streaming down his face, he pumped his fist in the air as he was led off the stage by Secret Service detail. His political instincts, even at a time when his life was in jeopardy, were to treat it as a campaigning moment. What impact is this likely to have on his political campaign and on Joe Biden's campaign for re-election, given how much pressure he was under in the last number of weeks as well?
It was a remarkable moment, and I think it was him demonstrating to the crowd that he was still alive in the first instance and perhaps celebrating the fact that he was personally still alive. So I think that was the first instinct, then the political instinct of also letting them know that the king is not dead. But it was, I think, in the first instance, just showing I am still here and the crowd erupting wildly. But yes, that political instinct, very strong. It produced images that were instantly being called iconic. The photographers who were there, particularly the press photographers, did an outstanding job in capturing images, moving at a time when it was not safe to be moving into position to capture them. So that's been enormously beneficial for Donald Trump. And remember, Pennsylvania, where this assassination attempt happened, is one of the most critical of the six battleground states. In fact, they're concentrating really now on three states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Milwaukee, where the Republican convention is starting tomorrow and going on for the rest of the week, where Trump will get the nomination. They are the key places. So it's not going to take much to swing those states, and perhaps particularly in Pennsylvania, this may be of great benefit to Trump. As for Biden, it's probably another setback for him, unless they decide in the Democratic Party that they are going to get into the trench warfare of this one and try and say this is the kind of chaos and craziness that follows Trump and that Trump is the cause of, and see if they can convince people of that in the weeks and months ahead.
Sean Whelan, our Washington correspondent, thank you for speaking with us. Let's talk now to John Brennan, former director of the CIA, who served as chief counterintelligence officer in the Obama administration and advised the president on security and intelligence issues. John Brennan, thank you for joining us this afternoon. What is your reaction to what happened when you see the images, the video of bullets whizzing by Donald Trump's head and then him being struck in the ear? This was a lucky escape for the president, the former president.
Yes, I think we are all relieved that Donald Trump was not seriously injured in this assassination attempt. And we feel very badly for those who were injured and killed. But it underscores the challenge that the Secret Service and local authorities have on these outdoor events that have a long range that would be assassins can try to take advantage of. And it's very unfortunate that this individual was able to get on this building and had a line of sight to the that campaign rally stage. And so I think there are a lot of questions now being asked about the extent of the Secret Service protection that should be provided to Donald Trump, as well as at any of these outdoor rallies where you really cannot control the access to the surrounding area the way you can with an indoor event.
This will be treated as a security lapse, will it?
I think there's serious questions that are being raised, and I know Congress has already asked for the director of the Secret Service to appear at a hearing this week. But I do think it's a legitimate question about why that building was not secured, even though it was outside of the security perimeter. It still had an elevated line of sight that a high-powered rifle like an AR-15 can reach. So I do think there's some serious questioning that's going to be going on about the procedures that were in place.
We also saw footage of the response from the Secret Service. Secret Service agents did dive on the president as soon as he hit the ground. It did, though, seem to take some time to get the former president to the safety of an armored vehicle. What's your assessment of the response from the Secret Service? Was it adequate? Was it fast enough?
I think in the immediate aftermath of the shooting, yes, the Secret Service snipers were able to neutralize the threat by killing the shooter. And also, I think the Secret Service wanted to know whether or not there was anything else that might pose a threat. One of the concerns that a security team would have is that there may be more than one shooter. And so as they're trying to neutralize that threat, they have to be mindful that there could be something else from some other area. So I think they wanted to stabilize the president, make sure that he was okay, and then to remove him from the stage. And they did so with a cordon of Secret Service officers surrounding him.
The gunman, as we know, is dead, is neutralized, as you put it. The a search is being conducted or has been conducted at his home. What form will the investigation take now? What will they be looking for?
Well, he's only 20 years old, so they're going to obviously be questioning his family, his friends, neighbors, those who knew him in school because he was just 2 years out of high school. His computers, his cell phones, other types of things, what type of contacts he might have had, what type of information was he accessing on his computer. This is going to be a very, very thorough investigation to see whether or not there was anything that had prompted him to carry out this atrocious act and whether or not there might have been somebody else involved in some way about it. But it's going to be comprehensive. It'll be federal, state, and local. At the federal level, it'll be Secret Service and the FBI and the ATF. And Pennsylvania authorities are going to be heavily involved in this as well.
The Republican National Convention, as we know, takes place tomorrow in Milwaukee. I presume there will be a full security review now in light of the events yesterday, and that perhaps security will have to be reassessed and beefed up, given what we saw last night.
Yes, and the fact that it is opening tomorrow doesn't give them much time to do that. But I'm sure it was pretty extensive in the run-up to the convention. But now, in light of this, the normal procedure is for there to be a wholesale review of all the security practices in place, maybe extending the perimeter more around the convention center in Milwaukee, and more thoroughly vetting the individuals who are going to have access, maybe even limiting the number of individuals who are going to have access to the convention floor. So this is prudent. It looks as though right now that this shooter was acting alone and is not part of a broader conspiracy. But still, I think they're going to be overly cautious now, and not just with Donald Trump's campaign activities, but also with President Biden's as well.
What about Donald Trump's campaign as it progresses now? I mean, he's famous for those large rallies, the likes of that we saw last night in Pennsylvania. He's surrounded at those rallies on all sides by supporters, but they are obviously a huge security risk as well. Will things have to change?
Well, obviously, Donald Trump has a very, very large following. And I expect that this attempted assassination will, in fact, fuel even more support, visible support for Donald Trump at his campaign stops. But I do think the Trump campaign will have to ensure that the appropriate security procedures are in place. They'll need to work very, very closely, as they have been, with the Secret Service and others. But I think this is going to give Donald Trump's base even more reason to come out and show support for him as a way to to help propel him to the White House, which is what their ultimate aim is.
John Brennan, former director of the CIA, thank you very much indeed for speaking with us today. Let's talk now to Mark Melman, a Democratic pollster and political consultant. Mark, thanks for joining us. It's good to have you on the programme. Can I get your reaction, first of all, to what happened in Pennsylvania?
Well, this was horrific. There should be no place for violence of this kind in our country. Unfortunately, there is. It's not the first instance of political violence. It's not the first instance of attempted mass shootings. And it's a problem that we as Americans have to deal with, and a problem that we have to confront very openly. But we're certainly glad that the president, former president, seems to be okay. And that, obviously a terrible tragedy. There were at least two people killed, as we understand it, or as well as injuries. So there's.
Yes, I suppose just turning to the politics, and I know it is a 360 turn or a 180 turn. But you're a Democratic pollster, a political consultant. How will the Democrats now respond to the events of last night?
Well, first of all, Democrats have responded with great sorrow and with great concern for President Trump's well-being, and with condolences to the people who lost their lives and who were injured in this attack. So that's the first thing. And the truth is, I think for the first day or two, people are going to be very focused on the tragedy that happened. The reality is the politics will eventually continue, and the case will continue. Donald Trump will continue to make a case against Joe Biden, as he has for years now. And President Biden and Democrats will continue to make the case for President Biden and against Donald Trump. That we'll refer to that fairly soon.
And dramatic as the events of yesterday were for Donald Trump, they do shift the focus off Joe Biden at a time when he was under intense scrutiny, under intense pressure over his mental fitness to continue with the presidential campaign. What's your assessment of these events now, and whether, I mean, do they give him a breather? Do they give him a chance to regroup, given that the focus shifts from Joe Biden to Donald Trump for the moment?
Well, the focus was going to shift to Donald Trump anyway, as you were talking about before. The Republican convention starts in Wisconsin tomorrow. President Trump will be naming a vice presidential nominee, presumably early in the week. Thursday night, he'll be giving his own speech. So the focus was going to be on Donald Trump anyway. In the first instance, we expect people to rally around the victim here, who is Donald Trump. I've unfortunately been through this in the United States and in other countries, and that tends to be what happens. Voters rally around that person in the short term, and then people revert to their previous political leanings as time goes on. There will be certainly a change in focus to Donald Trump because of this assassination attempt and because of the convention that is about to begin.
We did see in the past, you mentioned that this has happened before, when Ronald Reagan survived an assassination attempt in 1981 and got back on the campaign trail, or got back to work 2 weeks later, his approval ratings went up. Do you expect, as a pollster, that there will be a benefit in this for Donald Trump?
Well, one hates to think about it in those terms, but given the circumstances. But the reality is, as I said, people do tend to rally around the victim here, and especially when they've shown some tenacity, as President Reagan did, as President Trump did here. And I think you will see a boost in support for President Trump. But again, I think that will eventually dissipate as people get through the Republican convention, get through the Democratic convention, get back to debating the issues, which are the bread and butter of a campaign.
Mark, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Mark Melman, US political consultant and pollster. We will have more from the United States later in the programme. After the break, we'll speak with the HSE Chief Executive Bernard Gloster.